Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm here to bring you the preview show ahead of Germany's big match, an international friendly against the Netherlands. Of course, with Germany coming off of its big 2-0 win over France over the weekend, this is a very important match for quite a few reasons, not the least of which is Germany wants to build some momentum, establish partnerships, and keep the relationship building going between these players as they get closer and closer to the Euros. Man, if you're like me, you came away really impressed with what Germany did over the weekend. But now is the time to put that France game behind the Germans and to start looking forward to this Netherlands match, which will indeed present a big issue for the Bavarians. This is a Netherlands side that is deep, it is talented, and it's got real star power to it. And the Netherlands is also riding a bit of a hot hand as it came. It is coming off of a 4-0 victory over Scotland last Friday. So this is a very good Netherlands side, one that should absolutely present a big challenge to the Germans. And Julian Nagelsmann will have his work cut out for him. Of course, Nagelsmann is going to have some very key decisions to make on his end, as he is going to have to decide whether he's going to stick with the 11 that he used against France or if he's going to vary it up a little bit and see what he wants to do in terms of integrating other players. So obviously this is a big moment for Julian Nagelsmann, and you don't want to make too much of an international friendly, but this is big for the Germans in that they have not played well for so long. And you look at everything that they have done over the past few years, and you've seen the struggles, you've seen the poor play, and now it looks like they're building something, and you want to see it continue to keep going forward. And I think that's where Nagelsmann's head will be as he starts to think about how he wants to set his players up, how he wants to play this one strategically, and how this team will match up against a good Dutch side. So I expect a really, really intense and good match. It'll be a good challenge for the Germans. You really couldn't ask for a better setup than to have to play France and the Netherlands back-to-back in this international break, just because Nagelsmann himself knows that this team needs challenges. Of course, maybe having an easier game to ramp up in would have been great, but you can't think about that now. When you look at this team that Nagelsmann has put together, they absolutely need to build some cohesion, and I think that will be the focus of what is going on. But this Netherlands side, when you look at the roster, you'll see some familiar faces, one of whom being Matthijs de Ligt, who will probably be getting the start if the recent reports are true. De Ligt will start against his clubmates from Bayern Munich, at least a couple of them. So it'll be very interesting to see how he does, but this is not a one-person squad by any means. When you look at some of the names, of course, there are ones you will recognize from their Bayern tenures, like Daley Blind, but you also have players, you just go up and down the roster. We talked about Van Dijk and De Ligt, but you had Toonkoop Miners. You could go Cody Gakpo, Jeremy Frimpong, Danielle Malin, Memphis Depay. I mean, so many recognizable players. Abby Simons, of course, was having a great season with RB Leipzig, Voet Weghorst. You could go on and on and on. This is a very talented team. So this should be a good match, and it should be a fun one for fans to take in, because it will tell everyone a little bit about how things are progressing and how Nagelsmann is able to adapt from match to match and how quickly he can do it. It's a little bit different than the club scene, and I'm very interested to see how Nagelsmann is able to make those moves and changes as he shifts from France to the Netherlands. And one of the things that has been a little bit of a subplot during this break has been the absence of Leroy Sané. Now, we know that Sané is out with a red card suspension, but it's really unclear as to how he would have been used if he was in camp. The most recent reports indicate that Sané is really feeling it, and he wants to be with Germany, so much so that he is traveling to Frankfurt to take in the match. But there were some other quotes that came out where Julian Nagelsmann was asked about this specific question, and he was asked about Leroy Sané and what kind of role he might have on this team. Now, if you look at the Germany attack at this moment, you have to assume that Nagelsmann will pretty much keep it the same in terms of using Florian Wirtz and Jamal Musiala as wingers. For all intents and purposes, they're more like wide attackers, not quite as wide as traditional wingers, but Ilkay Gundogan at the 10, Kai Havertz at the 9. So where would Leroy Sané fit with those players? Obviously, that presents an issue because Sané's natural position of being a wing, he would have to take out Musiala or Wirtz. So if Sané was to come in and bump one of those players, which one would bump out Ilkay Gundogan would be my question. Because I think if Sané does come back, which he will, and he will be selected for the Euro squad, when that happens, what does Nagelsmann do? Does he disrupt things and remove Gundogan from the starting 11? I mean, this is a guy he just made captain. Or does he take the chance and remove Musiala or Wirtz, who were electrifying against France and really are the future of this team? It's a very interesting conundrum. I'm not sure that Leroy Sané has a role moving forward here if Nagelsmann is the coach. And I don't think it has anything to do with Nagelsmann's feelings about Sané. We know that Nagelsmann likes him. That's not even a question. But how do you disrupt things? If Germany goes out and they win today, if they get to June and they use the same lineup, same formation, they're successful there before the Euros, is there any way that Nagelsmann would break this up? I don't think so. And I have a hard time believing that he's going to bench Gundogan or bench Musiala or even Wirtz. And you might say, well, what about Havertz? Isn't there a way to make this work? We've seen Nagelsmann want to go strikerless before. I think if Havertz is removed from the lineup, which is a possibility, let's be honest, he has not been the most consistent player over the course of his career. I think you need a nine there. So if you're taking Havertz out, you are bringing in Niklas Füllkrug. That still doesn't solve your Leroy Sané problem. So very interesting. I don't know what Nagelsmann will do, but I think it is a concern for Leroy Sané that if he watched that game on Saturday against France, he's probably thinking to himself, and if he's doing the numbers in his head, where do I fit in here? And right now, I think it looks like he'd be a sub player. Now, you might say, given how he's played in the second half for Bayern Munich, that shouldn't come as a shock to him. And there is some merit to that. Sané is definitely a player who was electric. It was awesome in the first half of the season, but has completely fallen off the face of the earth. But one of the articles that came out on Sunday indicated that Sané admitted that he's been fatigued, he's been run down, that he's been hurt, he's been trying to play through injuries, and it's really taken a toll on him, which is something we've been speculating for a while on. I mean, you could see that this was not the same player. So Sané, now we all know he's been hurt, he's been tired, and part of that is because Thomas Tuchel ran him into the ground so much in the Hinrunde. So now he's working to get healthy. Hopefully this time that he was away from both Bayern Munich and the German national team paid off for him, and he got that rest that he needed, and he's getting healthy because certainly Bayern Munich needs him for their stretch run in the season, but Germany could also use a player like him, even if it's off the bench, to come in and make an impact because the Euros are going to be wild. As far as trying to pick Nagelsmann's brain or his lineup, I don't think you're going to see much or really any changes right now. If you look at things and how they stand, I would say Marc-Andre Ter Stegen is pretty solid at goalkeeper at this point with Manuel Neuer missing due to injury. At center back, I don't think you're going to see any change with Antonio Rudiger and Jonathan Tah because Nagelsmann needs those two to get on the same page. He needs that relationship built up. I thought they did an okay job against France. Pretty good, all things considered. I think there's still a lot of room for improvement there, so I want to see more building of that relationship and better communication between the two. At right back, undoubtedly, you'll see Joshua Kimmich. It doesn't seem like he'll be getting any rest there. At left back, you could see some movement, but I think Nagelsmann likes Mittelstadt. It's very interesting to me because Mittelstadt is a player who I rated him a little bit more highly than others did on Saturday. I know he had his moments and his struggles, but I kind of equate that to this really being his first time on the big stage and playing with this many star players. No offense to his teammates at Stuttgart, but I think it was a time where he needed some adjustment. And I think he handled himself all in all pretty well. So I think Nagelsmann will want to see more of that because the other options he has at left back, he's already seen. David Rahm, we know what he is. He's a good dynamic offensive player who sometimes shirks his defensive responsibilities. Benjamin Heinrichs is your, as the kids would say, mid left back. He is completely average in my mind in everything that he does. So I think if you're Nagelsmann, you know what you're getting out of those two, and you probably want to see a little bit more out of Mittelstadt. But all that said, this could be an area where Nagelsmann does make a change. In the central midfield, Toni Kroos is undoubtedly going to get another start. He was excellent in that match. He seems like he just is more into it at this point than he was toward the end of his last tenure with Germany, and that's a great thing for Germany, obviously. At the other position, Robert Andrich, I thought, handled himself well. Again, didn't do anything that really stood out, was not the superstar in that match against France, but was solid. So it's up to Nagelsmann. Was solid enough? Is that enough of what he wanted to see? And does he want to build from that and continue the partnership with Kroos in the midfield? Or does he want to experiment and bring in Pascal Gross, another player who maybe a little bit more defensive-minded, obviously, than Toni Kroos? So that complementary part would be there. Maybe he wants to see how that partnership would work. I don't know. But I do think Andrich will get the start. But again, that's a possibility where you could see some movement. As far as the attack goes, I don't think you'll see anything change. You'll see Florian Wirtz and Jamal Musial playing in those wider positions, Ilkay Gundogan at the 10 and Kai Havertz at the 9. As for potential changes, I suppose you could see Nagelsmann look at Gundogan's performance from the weekend and say it wasn't that great. And in reality, it wasn't. I don't think he was asked really to do too much. So, I mean, honestly, I don't know how Nagelsmann will assess him. But if there was any type of change there, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, I wouldn't be blown away if Nagelsmann used Thomas Muller in that spot. But I doubt it. I kind of think that Gundogan, given that he's a captain, is going to get the benefit of the doubt and is going to get another run out there against the Netherlands. Kai Havertz came on, had a nice goal. Obviously, it was more of an effort goal than it was a technical goal. In any way, I mean, he was able to run into a pass that Jamal Musiala cut back from the end line. And, you know, part of being a goal scorer is being in the right place at the right time. And Havertz certainly did that. Füllkrug is a player who absolutely could do some things differently and maybe is a little bit more of a physical presence in the box. Again, I don't think you're going to see a change there, but if there are changes that Nagelsmann will make, striker could be one of them, just because Füllkrug has done it, and he has been a pretty solid addition to the German national team since he was brought on by Hansi Flick. So that's how I think it will go. I think you'll see the same lineup, but I did give you a couple areas to look for when it comes to potential changes. As far as prediction goes, it's tough to predict these, right? I went 2-2 Germany-France because I thought France would be unmotivated. I was right. I didn't realize they would be so unmotivated that Germany would keep them in their pocket in the second half. So credit to Germany for the way they handled France, how they will handle the Netherlands. I think this one's going to be a little bit tougher. I think the Netherlands will take this game a little bit more seriously than the French did. I think, though, Nagelsmann realizes the importance of this. We know that he's given an inspirational speech about this team and moving forward and building something for the Euros. So if the players have bought into it and they're feeling good about how they're playing, let's say 2-1 victory for the Germans. I'm being optimistic, right? It's time. It is the time for hope. It's spring. So we'll go with that. And that'll about wrap up this edition of the preview show. Thanks for hanging in there. If you did not get a chance to check them out, check out last week's weekend warm-up. Check out the post-game show from Germany, France, and check out the flagship show, which was dropped late on Sunday night. No, it's a lot, but we're hitting all of the shows that you like, the ones that you wanted and you like based on the feedback, keeping them separate. So that's what we're trying to do. So, hey, listen to what you want, skip what you don't. You won't hurt our feelings either way. We just love when you are able to download and listen to our shows whenever you get the chance. can always get me at the Barrel Blog on Twitter. You can get the site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get this podcast at Bavarian Podcast. You can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN. You can get our Tweetmeister Tom Adams at TommyAdams71. And you can get Siler at BFWSiler. And as always, you can get all of our great writers and podcasters at BavarianFootballWorks.com. We'll have all the coverage of the match. Again, it's always dicey trying to get our eyes on these matches. It's not exactly easy in the United States, but we are finding ways to do that. So we will continue to do that and, of course, also be relying heavily on our international staff. So we appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. Enjoy the match. Have a couple of beers on me, and we will see you next time.